And we're back. I'm so pleased Raymond Benz is joining us in the studio this evening to talk about his platform and some of the issues going on in Alnwick-Haldimand Township. I have to say, you're running a very traditional campaign here, Raymond. When I spoke to you earlier today, you told me that you don't have any brochures, no website, no Facebook page, no Twitter account. And there'd be a lot of people out there that would say that's really unusual for a political campaign these days. How come?
Well, I am in a rural area, and I rely basically on door-to-door. I rely on my reputation. I rely on my signs. I've been on council for a considerable period of time, and I basically bank on my reputation as far as my constituents are concerned, Robert.
That's fantastic. Now, you've been on council for, I think it's 21 years. Is that, did I get that number correct?
Well, you're very close. How long? I went on council in 1997. Mm-hmm. I was elected as a councillor, and I've been on council ever since.
And for you being on that long, what difference does it make compared? I mean, we were just talking to Adam here. It's his first time he's running. What difference does it make to have that kind of lengthy political experience compared to others?
Well, sometimes the experience is very, very important. I look at the fact that a lot of history sometimes is good. Sometimes when you're making a decision, it's really, really important to look back over your shoulder, Robert. I can provide mm-hmm. a lot of information to the new councillors and that myself and, well, the only people we have on other person on council now with the regularity that I have is our new CAO, Robin van de Moosdyk. Mm-hmm. And Robin and myself, we can provide a lot of back history and such like in to the council, which might not be available in any other circumstances.
Can you give me an example of that? Maybe a recent example of that at a council meeting?
Oh boy, let me see. I could probably give you several examples of that if the truth be known, but. Mm-hmm. Geez, I can't draw anything off the top of my head right now. I froze.
Right. That's all right.
I froze,
oh.
Robert.
Okay.
One thing that has recently cropped up, Robert, is Rush Creek. Mm-hmm. And basically, I can give a lot of information as far as past history, as far as the dealings with the individual that does own property beside Rush Creek, and the agreement that was put forward as far as the courts and that were concerned, and okay. the agreement as far as the municipality with the situation.
So maybe for people who don't follow Alnwick-Haldimand politics as closely as you do, can you just tell us quickly what that issue was and how you resolved it?
Well, the issue was with an adjacent landowner and with access to the cemetery. Mm-hmm. The province told us that not that you should have access to the cemetery, but you shall have access to the cemetery. And there was a lot of back and forth participation. It went into the legal hands, and basically a legal settlement was drawn up with the right of access or the right of easement across this gentleman's property, he has just recently contacted council as far as some issues that could be developing there, and I can certainly provide the council with a lot of back history and the method that was used there.
Now,
Robert,
if I recall correctly, this is a long-term standing issue. I think in back when Bill Finley was
That's correct.
Was very, very controversial and many, many hours and great resources
correct.
Fighting over this.
Correct.
Why is it so hard to get something like this resolved? I mean, it seems like such a straightforward issue. You know, do we have a path up there? Don't we have a path? Yes, you have. No, you don't.
It should never have developed the way it did, it was there was a right of access to the property. When you got into the legal hands, Robert, it ended with two lawyers. It ended with affidavits. It ended with with the access, and it was a difficult situation.
Okay. One of the things about Alnwick Haldeman is that it's a very, very rural municipality.
Correct.
There's not a lot of industrial assessment there.
Our two major industries are agriculture and tourism, and agriculture is the major industry as far as our municipality is concerned.
Which is not totally unique in Ontario, but very unique in Northumberland.
That's correct.
So that being the case, it's meant at budget time, there's been some really hard decisions to be made. And in fact, in 2017, your council approved a 9% increase in municipal tax. At one point, I think it was as high as 17% that you were looking at. How?
Well, that's a wish list as far as all of the individuals are concerned,
still,
all our departments are concerned.
Sure.
Robert, you recognize that, and that was pared down
by almost half.
Oh, better than half.
Still, 9% is a huge increase, and when you're talking to taxpayers, that's pretty shocking. What can be done, or is there anything that can be done around municipal taxes, and what's your position on all of this?
As far as municipal taxes are concerned, well, a little back history on that.
Mm-hmm.
The council, a long time ago, the council's decision was the fact that we should have the best tax rate in Northumberland County. And sometimes it was a zero increase as far as tax rate was concerned.
That's right.
It was a council of seven, and three of the councillors of the day, we basically said that this was wrong, that we should be establishing our reserves in that, and the other four council members basically overruled it. It's democracy, and the tax rate, of course, was kept at a very, very minimum rate. And Robert, we're paying for it now. We're paying for it because of our reserves. We're building our reserves at the moment. If you wanted to balance the budget in the old style of municipal politics, you simply cut the roads department back as far as the budget as far as the roads, and that's how they balanced the budget. And it was wrong. It was wrong. And we're paying for that now.
So when you're out on the hustings and you're talking to people, does this issue come up? I mean, do people complain about, oh my gosh, we paid 9% last year in our taxes?
Well, we're still one of the lowest tax rates in Northumberland County, as far as tax rate is concerned.
Well, I know that Port Hope, I think it was under 2%. I know that Coburg was under 2%. So how do you argue that?
How do I argue that?
Yes, please.
Is the fact that what you will pay in residential taxes, as far as per $100,000 of value of your home, we still are the lowest tax rate that the homeowner is out of, that pays us as far as municipal tax is concerned. We are the lowest tax rate I should be able to draw that figure forth, but I'm not going to bring that figure out.
No, but I want to make sure people understand, because what you're saying is it doesn't make sense unless you understand how municipal taxes work.
I know.
And so we have very high municipal assessment in urban areas.
Correct.
Houses are very highly priced.
Correct.
Therefore, when you go to pay your taxes, you pay quite a bit of money, even though the tax rate itself, the increases are very small. But because you're out, it's rural area, the tax rates are assessed differently, the value of the lands is different.
Agricultural land.
Yes. Okay. So therefore, the amount you pay per dollar would seem less. So whereas somebody here would pay $2,000, out there they might only pay $500.
See, agricultural holding is concerned.
That's right.
My house and my one-acre lot is assessed as far as residential. Okay. If my remaining land is assessed as agricultural is concerned. Now, The increase in assessment is catching up with us, because not only are the value of the houses going up, Robert,
mm-hmm.
but land value over the last 8 to 10 years has probably went from $2,000 to $3,000 an acre mm-hmm. to $10,000 an acre.
Mm-hmm. And that's a huge issue.
And that's a huge issue. Okay?
Now, what are you guys down in Alma-Haldeman doing about that? Because I know farmers are very, very upset.
Correct.
And yet we don't hear anything from the county. What are you guys doing down there?
There's very little we can do about it because mm-hmm. of the fact that the taxation rates and that come from MPAC. Mm-hmm. And over the next years to 2020, we will be paying twice the amount on agricultural land as what we're paying now.
So MPAC being the Municipal Property Assessment Commission.
That's correct.
Okay, just so that our listeners know.
Yes, yep. That's correct.
Okay. You talked earlier about the budget process and paying for things and having these kinds of discussions. And I know that it wasn't that long ago, but a year ago, there was a fire on Grills Road, and
yes.
there was attended by all the local fire departments came out to help your
correct.
Fire department fight it. But at the same time, there were your trucks. There were some of them that didn't work. There were some of them that couldn't make it. I mean, from your standpoint of view, the ball kind of got dropped a bit.
Okay.
So what's being done about that? Has anything changed?
Yes, there has been changes on that as far as mutual aid is concerned, and the mm-hmm. method of fighting those fires has been adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
The one truck that went down after about 8 hours actually went down to the fact that it was using so much energy as far as its lighting and such like was concerned that the electrical system on that failed.
Wow.
That fire, it was I can identify the farm I don't think there's any problem with
okay,
that, is there?
Sure, go ahead.
It was Medema Farms,
okay.
and one of their big hay storages caught yeah. fire. And it was about a 36 to a 40-hour tenure as far as our fire department was concerned and the other departments was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
There's no access as far as water is concerned to that, so mm-hmm. all the water had to be brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nighttime affair as far as the vehicle failed. So they changed their attitude as far as the reservoir, as far as the water is concerned. Mm-hmm. They bring the water in the tankers. They dump it in a big reservoir, and from that it's pumped through the pumper and fighting the fire.
Okay.
So instead of putting this reservoir right in the yard, now they're establishing it on a road so that your trucks can basically drive by the reservoir, deposit it, drive on, get the heck out of the way, and now they're pumping the distance. With the big pumpers and that, they're pumping the distance to the fire. So they're really streamlining the cause and effect. They're really streamlining the effect as far as how they're going to fight a fire.
So if I'm a farmer, I'm a resident in your township, and I'm listening to this conversation, can you guarantee me that that isn't going to ever happen again?
There's no guarantees with fire. You're aware of
but,
that,
but,
Robert.
Are the trucks reliable now? Or, I mean, is everything up to snuff?
They should be. There's nothing out of service right now, and we just purchased a $428,000 pumper unit for Rosneath, the tanker pumper.
Wow, okay.
That's a lot of currency as far as a small
I would think so.
Municipality is concerned.
Sounds like it. Let's move on. One of the things that you were said during your tenure the last 4 years was in regards to the Vernonville Community Center.
Yes.
And you had raised a motion that said, time's done, we've got to get rid of this.
That's correct.
And I want to know why you took that stance, because I know that the community disagreed with you very, very strongly. Can you tell us why you took that stance, and have you changed your mind?
Well, the community committee, as far as the Vernonville Community Center, was extinct. There was no committee whatsoever as far as the center was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
It was not being used, and for well over a year that basically the center stood there basically dormant. There was no activity in the center whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I put forward a notice of motion, and Robert, it was probably one of the most difficult decisions that I had to make for a long, long time in my political career was to put forward the notion or the notice of motion to declare this property excess and to put up for sale.
Why so difficult?
Damn it, it's, oops, my wife said I wasn't supposed to swear, and
I guess, dear.
I did.
It's all right, we'll bleep that out later.
You can bleep that out?
Not really, but it's okay. It's okay.
It was really critical because of the fact that there's the store is closed in Vernonville, the church is closed in Vernonville. Technically, the only hub in Vernonville is the community center.
Mm-hmm.
And something really good came out of that, Robert.
Okay.
The fact that at the next council meeting, when that motion was to be put on the floor, there was a great representation of the people in the Vernonville area.
Mm-hmm.
They came to council and they said that they were going to organize a community committee,
mm-hmm.
which they did. It is very active right now. I guess you could almost say it was like the phoenix that arose from the ashes.
Okay.
It was really good to see the activity in that's going on in the Vernonville area right now. There are a lot of new homes, a lot of new children, and as it is the hub, and I have told that committee that I will support them in any way, shape, or form that I can because they've really tried to bring that back on track, and they have.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Because I know at the time it was extraordinarily controversial.
Yes.
So it's good to hear that it seems to be on track right
yes.
now. So part of the discussion when you were having this debate was the idea that you were looking at a Parks and Recreation master plan.
That's
for the
correct.
Township.
And that is in effect.
Can you sort of bring us up to speed as to what happened after that? Because that was sort of a big thing for your council.
Yes, that was brought in. That was brought in. The consultant actually delivered the master plan. It was taken into the fact as far as our five community centers are concerned,
mm-hmm.
Our boat launch,
mm-hmm.
our arena,
mm-hmm.
and all our parks. Mm-hmm. And it did make recommendations as far as the master plan, as far as that Parks and Recreation is concerned. It made recommendations as far as the community centers were concerned. Made recommendations as far as the arena, as far as the parquets and that were concerned. Yes, it made some some of them I agreed with. Other ones that I certainly didn't agree with.
What were the parts that you agreed with and what were the parts that you didn't agree with?
Well, they came forward with the idea that we were excess as far as community centers were concerned. And two of our community centers under the Parks and Recreation, it was recommended that they be closed.
And is that going to happen?
The situation right now is that it's not going to happen unless it comes forward.
And what do you mean by that, coming forward? What do you
well,
mean?
I don't know whether to describe it as a probationary period or not, but every community center is on its own merits.
Mm-hmm.
And, one of the community centers that they recommended to be closed was the Vernonville Center. And the situation has really changed since that report came in. So if I look at that and I say, no, I don't think I would support the closure of that center right now.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to do a few commercials. Then we'll be right back with Raymond Benz, who is running for a seat on council in Alnwick-Haldimand Township. This is Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local radio station, and this show is Consider This Live.
Every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m., Northumberland 89.7 has a fabulous new feature, Radio Bingo. You can play right in the comfort of your own home. There will be $800 in prizes given out each week. Cards are available in Port Hope at Giant Tiger, 145 Peter Street, BBC Convenience, 99 Walton Street, A-Plus Convenience, 68 Wellington Street, PharmaSave, 60 Ontario Street, Uptown Variety, 166 Rideout Street. Don't miss Radio Bingo, Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m., an exciting opportunity to win prizes while helping raise funds for Northumberland 89.7. your truly local radio run by truly local volunteers.
Lottery license numbers M740399 and M740400.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Heather.
We own All Creatures Great and Small,
your natural pet care specialists.
You've probably noticed that raw food for pets is everywhere now.
We're not surprised.
We've been feeding raw and educating about the benefits for the last 18 years.
To ensure your pets are getting a balanced raw food diet
with the supplementation they need,
come see us. We've got the knowledge
and the experience. All Creatures Great and Small, your raw food experts, 7 days a week in downtown Coburg.
And don't forget, like us on Facebook.
Northumberland 89.7 is a not-for-profit, volunteer-run radio station. We are proud of the unique service we provide to this community. If you enjoy our programming and would like to help us continue as truly local radio, you can contribute through our website. Just click on the donate button at northumberland89.7.ca.
This is Consider This Live. I'm Robert Washburn, and I'm talking to Raymond Benz, who's running for a seat on Alnwick-Haldimand Township Council. And we haven't had a chance to get to know you, Raymond. So tell us a bit about who you are.
Are you sure you really want to know?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, Robert, I've been a lifetime resident of my municipality. And just to go back, I graduated from Kempville College of Agricultural Technology with the 3 years of diploma, mm-hmm. course. Mm-hmm. I worked for about a year and a half with the United Cooperatives as a retail fieldman in Renfrew County. And then in 1967, I came back and I bought my father's farm and I married my wife. And I think that were two great centennial projects. And I must be doing something right, Robert, because I still have them both.
Oh, that's nice.
We have two sons, Stephen and Jeremy. Mm-hmm. Neither one chose to come back to the farm. The vocation that they chose, they're very, very successful in it. I was a little disappointed, but it was their choice. I ran a 65-sow farrow to finish operation as far as the farm was concerned. Mm-hmm. We produced about 200,000 pounds of white meat a year. Mm-hmm. We had to make a very, very difficult situation or a decision in 97. Mm-hmm. The operation was 30 years old. Technologically, it was behind, and we had to put a lot of money into it to bring that up to operating standards in 97. Mm-hmm. So we made the choice to phase the operation out, and particularly the fact that my two sons were not coming back to the farm, or one of them wasn't. So we phased it out, and I entered the political field, and I was elected, and I've been there ever since. I'm just going to give you a little bit of rendition as far as my platform is concerned. If I can enter into that. I haven't changed years through my municipality and constituents. For want of better words, I went with, I guess they call it the KISS system, keep it simple, stupid. I believe we should work for the best interests of the municipality, its residents and taxpayers, and to the best of my ability. Availability, transparency, and common sense are the two things which I believe my constituents deserve. And if anyone goes into politics, I would say three things. I would say every elected official should know himself. And to me, that's very important. I think I know myself. He should know his responsibilities to the council and to the taxpayer. And thirdly, and he should know his municipality, his constituents, and their expectations. And if you follow those three things, you've got a great platform and a great outlook as far as a political and is concerned.
No, that's fascinating. It's very interesting. I'm so glad we got to talk about your platform because, as I mentioned earlier, you said to me earlier, it's all in your head. So thank you very much for articulating that out. One of the things that you mentioned in all of that that is a constant theme through many candidates is transparency.
Yes.
And yet here you are, you've been 20 years. Should transparency even be an issue that you're talking about? Shouldn't you have designed the most transparent, open political process in human history over a period like that?
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
are you still mentioning it?
It's very important to reinforce it, Robert. It is, and to make my to make my constituents aware that I'm there for them at any time.
Well, I don't doubt that, but this idea that it's opaque, or that, you know, somehow your counsel is not, how can that possibly be?
No, I think you're putting words together there that is all not right. applicable to my counsel, Robert.
Good.
We have a great counsel. We work so well together. There's no discord or anything like that. We have our discussions, but we work very, very effectively as far as a counsel is concerned.
Okay.
I'll stake my life on that. Okay.
All right. No, that sounds good. And what you're saying to me then, so I'm clear, is that even though you mention it in your literature, you believe that your counsel is transparent and it is open.
I believe it is.
Fantastic. Well, that's a great note to end on. So I want to thank you very much for coming out. I wish you all the best in your campaign. Good luck to you. And to our listeners, I want to thank both my guests, Raymond Benz and Adam Bureau, for taking the time away from their campaigns to join us this evening. I want to wish all of the candidates who are running for office the best of luck. And don't forget to follow our extensive coverage of the municipal election in West Northumberland over the upcoming weeks. We're going to be doing interviews on Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. with Jim Glover. Then on Wednesdays, you can listen to Dave Glover and I during Consider This Live at 6 p.m. And then catch us on Fridays at 4 p.m. for a special edition of Consider This Live for even more interviews. So thank you so much for listening. We're going to go out with a favorite of mine, Bachman Turner Overdrive, Taking Care of Business. Have a great evening. Thank you so much for listening.